Talkradio.org.au, nourishing the soul of the digital generation.
Wow, for a guy who's asked that nearly every girl in the room, you've sure got women pegged wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, good men are not hard to find. It's just that they shouldn't be doing the ones who, they shouldn't be the ones who are being found. They should be out finding the women. Ladies and gentlemen, I just have a few objections to what we've been presented with from the infirmary this evening. First of all, where to start? They seem to have this very skewed picture of what women are these days. They presented this argument that women are the same, are increasingly the same as men, and all things essentially male, and therefore men don't really know how to respond to them, and it's really difficult to be a man. Well, have I ever heard a bigger bunch of whiners in my life? Guys, women are still women. Sure, some we work now. Don't get a little bit too far. Don't get so afraid about that. Women who work still want to get asked out. Newsflash. I've got some nods over here. Thank you. So, what is it exactly that men are objecting to about women having changed over the past century? Because surely we have. In a lot of things, we have changed. Are you objecting to the fact that we work? Are you objecting to the fact that we get an education? Just what is it? Where would you rather us be? Essentially, despite what the affirmative is saying to you today, ladies and gentlemen, we know, women in the audience know, and the good men in here know, that women have not changed in who we are. Sure, in what we do, but in who we are and what we want and what we crave and what we long for, that hasn't changed. Despite the fact that I work, of course I want to be a mother and a wife one day. There are very few women who don't at some point realise this. Others not at the same time as others, but it is an essential part of being a woman. So let's ask, why did women become more masculine? Why did feminism start? And it's because there was a vacuum. World War One, that's when women stepped up. And feminism didn't happen just because women got up one day and said, I feel undervalued. They actually did feel undervalued. There was a root cause of all this. You look at women who have been abandoned by their husbands. They need to step in and take the male role, not because they want to, but because there's a vacuum. Women aren't the reason that we've had to step up and take male roles. It's the men's fault. So let's just get that clear. Women don't want to be men. We are who we are. Men just perceive us different, and that's not our fault, okay? Now, another part of their case is hinged hugely on the fact that women have this huge influence over women. Something like they seem to depict themselves as mindless fools who don't have any control over what they do. Well, I'm sorry, I don't accept that at all. You look, essentially, women are under huge pressure by a lot of standards, and we behave differently. There's a vast spectrum of women. But can I just take the two examples that the first speaker gave us, Eve. Eve only did what she did because the man failed to communicate that God said, don't eat the apple. And Bathsheba, my goodness, typical essential woman who was alone and felt like she had to conform to some societal standard. The king had this weird right over her anyway. Bathsheba is not your quintessential woman. I'd like to fast forward to Sex and the City, ladies and gentlemen. You have two very stereotypical pictures of women in Charlotte and Samantha. Charlotte is a woman they think that has lowered the standards. Sorry, Samantha is. Charlotte's the one who holds out, you know, who's a bit more virtuous. And how many dates does Charlotte get? She's the one who's always pining for a date. The fact that we don't act more virtuous is simply because men aren't choosing the virtuous women, and that is not our fault. And as much as we try to change that, we can't do it. Only men can break the cycle. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I'll move on to my case. Now, by and large, a lot of the disagreement between the two teams here is because of different psychologies between men and women. And not just the different psychologies, but our failure to understand those things. So let's clear it up a little bit, because I appreciate that female psychology can at times sometimes seem like Princess Beatrix's wedding hat. Tortuous, convoluted, pointless, and a little bit hard to handle. I don't blame you, because really, pretty much every woman in this world has had a long-term crush on either Mr. Darcy, Gilbert Blythe, Heathcliff, Wuthering Heights, Aragorn, or even Eric from The Little Mermaid. And if you meet all of them. So it must seem pretty hard to compete with these tall, dark, handsome guys, and I appreciate it's a little bit intimidating, guys, but let's take a little bit of a closer look at Mr. Darcy, that pesky Mr. Darcy, that lake-diving, wet-shirt-wearing, £10,000 a year earning. In vain have I struggled, if will not do, you must allow me to tell you how ugly I admire and love you, Mr. Darcy. First of all, the man wore jodhpurs. Secondly, his sideburns were ridiculously long. Thirdly, he was unemployed. Fourthly, social retard. Fifthly, not exactly a last-minute hype kind of guy. He doesn't have moves like Jerome Smith on the dance floor at all. And his name is Fitzwilliam. What's my point? He was a loser. But girls love him. And why do we love him? Because the man was consistent in his love for a woman. He was a virtuous man. He saw past all the faults in the woman that he loved, allowed himself to become a virtuous man because of his love for her, and he laid down his life for her. That's why we love him. He was a virtuous man. So do we expect you to be eloquent men who can say things like, in vain have I struggled, will not do you must allow me to tell you hardly admire and love you? Frankly, I'd be freaked out if someone said that to me. Do we expect you to be Bear Grylls and jump on the top of an alligator and suffocate it, having eaten only locusts that day? I'm going to say no. Don't be fooled by any of these men. The fundamental truth about women is, first and foremost, that we need to feel loved and we need to feel wanted, and we need to hear it, just as we are. And there are a few reasons why most women have an inherent woundedness by the time we reach womanhood, and to explain those might need a book longer than Dr. Dave Chapman's PhD thesis. But we do have this deep yearning to feel beautiful and to feel loved. There's a reason why Bruno Mars's pivotal song last year, Just the Way You Are, stayed at number one for so long. And it's longer... It stayed there for a long time, and it's because it spoke to women's heart. So is it really that simple? Well, yes, it is. But I grant you that women sometimes are a little bit confused. We've grown up on this, you know, diet of crushes and fictional men, and sometimes we don't know exactly what we want when it's right in front of us. Sometimes when Mr. White comes along, it doesn't, you know, light bulbs don't go off. Sometimes you need to spend a bit of time getting to know us, getting us to trust you, pursuing us, we need to be wooed. And just on that note, stalking versus wooing. Wooing, praying for a woman every day. Stalking, leaving dead roses on a doorstep. Not cool. So men, faced with these two psychologies, the psychology of men, psychology of women, who has the burden? The man who wants to lay down his life or the woman who needs to feel loved? You guys have the power to break the cycle we're talking about. We can do as much as we want. If we can be less picky or whatever, not work or whatever you want. You guys are the only ones who can break the cycle. So men, what are you doing?
Do you lay down your life? Do you lay down your life?
Radio.org.au